wanted to talk about, and I named this Jesus Came for Everyone, because we're in a difficult place in our nation, I believe. We're just coming out of this pandemic that has killed over 100,000 Americans. It's killed over 2,000 right here in the area of New Orleans. And it's been a horrible time. And then we had the unfortunate murder of George Floyd by the police officers in Minneapolis. And they've since been charged. I saw today where they charged the other three. And so they've upped the charge to either first or second degree. I think it's second degree murder, which here in Louisiana carries a life in prison sentence. But these men brutally murdered this man while he was in handcuffs. And let me tell you, I as a pastor, I as a Christian, I as a citizen of the United States stand against that kind of thing. I believe most police officers, 99.99% of them, are good. The ones that did this obviously had gotten off track. But I want to tell you this. While I'm totally against what happened to George Floyd, I'm totally against what's going on in our communities with the burning and the looting. I'm totally for the in support of the protest about what happened to George, but against the looting. One bad doesn't justify another bad. I want to tell you this tonight. Not every police action is an act of prejudice. We've seen instances many times where police action was necessary. And while it might not be popular to everyone, it was necessary. And so, our officers we do have prejudice among the ranks of police officers around the country because we have prejudice among people around our country. I mean, we have prejudice throughout the population of the United States and every country on this planet. Don't think that prejudice and bigotry is something that only happens here in the United States. It's not. It's all over the world. And because we have people who are prejudiced, naturally, we're going to have police officers who are prejudiced, just like we have accountants who are prejudiced or mill workers who are prejudiced. And let me tell you this, God hates prejudice, no matter where it comes from, no matter who's directing it, and no matter where it's directed. God hates prejudice. Let me show you a scripture here. It says this, for Paul did to Titus. He said, the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation, and I meant to highlight it, to all people. I wanted you to see that. See, the grace of God, God loves everyone, and the grace of God's been poured out to everybody, white, black, male, female, young, old. God never made a person that he didn't love. He has never created someone that he didn't love, created them out of love. He's never created somebody that Jesus didn't die for. So God created us all. Matter of fact, God created race. He created color and diversity and all of that. Imagine how boring it would be if everybody looked the same. It'd be a pretty dull world. So God created race. He created color. And I believe that we're living in a fractured time. And I believe racial reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I believe it's a major part of what Jesus died for. And so I want you to look at this. And while you're looking, if you hadn't invited or shared this video with somebody, I'm live, so I can't do it. But you can hit that share button, because I believe this message is needed today, tonight, more than any time. So 2 Chronicles says this, fear the Lord and judge with integrity. For the Lord our God doesn't tolerate perverted justice. He doesn't tolerate partiality or the taking of bribes. Now, it's bribes are bad, right? You know, you pay somebody a bribe to get an advantage over somebody else, to cause somebody to be prejudiced against the person you're against. So he hates that, but he says God doesn't tolerate partiality. Well, another word for partiality is prejudice. God does not tolerate or condone or allow prejudice among his people. God wants everyone to be treated fairly and equally. And as we see the racial tension rising in our nation, I don't believe we can just sweep it under the rug. I don't believe that we can that we can ignore it and just wink at it. We've got to deal with it. So let me share some attitudes about race that you might run into in our culture that aren't helpful. One is you've just got the low rung on the totem pole, a racist. You know, I've seen these. I've grown up where you can go out and see races. These are people who just hate people of another race. They use derogatory names, and I mean, they're just mean people. And a lot of those people don't like people who don't hate people of another race. I mean, they're racist. They're the low rung of society. Next up, I guess right above that would be a bigot. It's somebody who believes in stereotypes about a particular race. Look, not quite as bad as a full-fledged racist. They belittle people of another race. They tell jokes. They don't go out and do harm necessarily to people. And then here's where you have most people are avoiders. They're not racist. Maybe they're just uncomfortable with people that aren't like themselves. And, you know, and so one of the things that helped me not be in this category was I grew up playing sports. And I had black friends and white friends and not too many brown friends at that time, but friends that weren't like me. But you know what? Their mamas could cook. And if their mama had food, we were at their house and they were at my house and stuff like that. So, but a lot of people aren't comfortable with people who don't look like them. And that's a shame. And then you've got those who are insensitive. Now, this is where a lot of us are. We may have, you know, we're insensitive about what hurts other people. You may have friends of another race. I grew up playing sports with guys who were of a different race than me. And I've got friends who are black and brown and different races. But I haven't always understood what hurts them, that things that I may overlook hurt them. And so those people are insensitive. And we can't be insensitive. You and I can't decide. We don't get to decide what hurts other people. And whether it's racially or something else. But we've got to become sensitive. We can't be insensitive. So the wrong response when somebody says that you hurt me is when we say, well, it shouldn't hurt you. And guys, let me tell you, don't ever tell your wife that. When she says you hurt me, just start apologizing right then. But in the area of race relations, that's a bad thing as well. And you got people who are apathetic. You just have some people don't care. And so let me tell you something. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you claim to be a Christian, you have to care. You have to care. You've got to care about fairness. You've got to care about justice. You've got to care about love. You've got to care about reconciliation in our culture. I mean, you've got to care about all those things. You know, on the positive side, you know, we want to see positive attitudes, you know, where we are sensitive to other people and where we show kindness to other people, you know, and we stop and try and help other people. And so we've got to get to that point. The Bible teaches actually that we're to be reconcilers. Everybody say that with me, reconcilers. I am a reconciler. It's what God wants. Here's what Paul said. He said, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to himself. God has said, look, I'm giving you the task of reconciling people to me, of bringing people to me. He says, so he goes on, he says, for God was in Christ reconciling or reuniting the world with himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of what? Reconciliation. We're to be reconciling people to God. And then people to each other. So he goes on. Paul says, we're Christ's ambassadors. Now, an ambassador in Paul's day was somebody who went out representing the king and would ask people to join their kingdom, to join their nation. So Roman ambassadors would go out and try and get people to become citizens of Rome. Well, we're ambassadors for Christ. So what are we supposed to do? We don't just represent Christ. We're just supposed to go out and reconcile people with God, bring people into the kingdom, get them to be part of the solution and get them. He says, we're Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us and saying, we speak for Christ when we say, come back to God. We're actually asking people to come back to God. And in Matthew 5:9, Jesus says this, God blesses those who work for peace. Or some translations will say, blessed are the peacemakers. Let me tell you, when you're working for peace, and whether it's in your family, at your job, or in your community, God blesses you. And he said, they will be called children of God. Listen, God wants you and I to be reconcilers, to be reconcilers. Now, why is it that God hates racial prejudice? Why? I believe God hates it. I know that people in the church in years past have tried to justify racism by some scriptures, and that's taken scripture totally out of context, and they will answer to God for that. But I want to tell you, God hates prejudice because it actually questions his character. I mean, listen, I already said this, but race matters to God. He created it, and he created each one of us equal, whether we're white, black, brown, red, yellow, doesn't matter. We are all created in God's image and created equal. Not the same, but equal. Can you imagine, like I said, how boring it would be? What if everybody looked like me? That'd be pretty bad. But God created this beautiful diversity that we have. And so we get to enjoy that. And let me tell you, God loves diversity. When you show racial prejudice, here's what I believe. When you show racial prejudice, you're telling God he made a mistake. And let me tell you something, God doesn't make mistakes and God doesn't make junk. And so, but when you're showing prejudice against someone, you are saying, God made a mistake. You should have made them just like me, God. You shouldn't have made them look different. You should have been just like me. Let me tell you, I'm glad that he didn't. And we need to understand that. Here's the thing. Luke wrote this in Acts. He said, from one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. From one man, Adam, and then Eve, God created the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. So God created all the nations, and he decided when a nation was going to come onto the scene and when that nation was going to fade. And so let me just say this. Oftentimes, we get a little bit prideful about our race or our nationality or different things. And so basically, he's saying here, guys, you can't brag. You didn't choose to be born white or black. You didn't have a choice in that. You were just born. I didn't get to choose my parents. I didn't get to choose whether I was born in America or not. And so why should I be prideful about something I had nothing to do with? That God chose me. So you see, we can't be prideful. I've heard people say, well, I'm so proud. I'm an American. I am proud to be an American, but I'm not proud in a way because I had no choice in that. I could as easily, Robert Story could have easily been born in another country had God decided that. So anytime you're thinking less of anyone who's God's creation, you're forgetting that you have a creator too. I'm created. I didn't put myself together. I've been created by God. And so he goes on and says this, who says you're better than others? You know, what do you have that wasn't given to you? And he said, and why do you brag as if you don't receive it as a gift? So let me tell you, it doesn't matter what race you are. It's the fact that we're all equal parts. We're all equal parts of the human race, and that ought to unite us, whether we're black or white or brown or red or yellow. We are all created in God's image. So prejudice, I'm just going to tell you, questions God's character because it says, God, you made a mistake. I believe God hates prejudice also because it's a sign of ignorance. Almost just said, if you're prejudiced, you're dumb. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. God hates prejudice because it is a sign of ignorance. When I make a prejudicial statement, it shows that I don't know what I'm talking about. It just shows, hey, look, I don't understand what God's purpose is for me or other people when I'm putting someone else that God has created down for some reason. Listen, when you don't understand or know about another group, you tend to look down on them. And so we do this with race. We do this with nationalities. I mean, we show prejudice towards these other groups. And when we do that, we show we don't understand them and we show we're ignorant of their situation. In contrast, the opposite's true. The more we understand somebody, the better and less prejudiced we are. I mean, when the Iron Curtain came down and Americans and Russians were able to start visiting with each other, we found a lot more in common than we thought. You know, people were making a big deal out of President Trump spending, and Vladimir Putin and the Chinese guy, President Xi. And, you know, I made a statement to somebody, I wish those guys played golf every week and ate lunch at least once a week. Because here's the thing, the better they know each other, the less likely they are to shoot missiles at each other and to try and mess with each other. So the same thing happens in our race relations. The more we understand each other and the better we know each other, the less prejudice we'll be. Matter of fact, the Bible says it like this. It says, wisdom, but the wisdom from above is pure. First of all, it's peaceful, gentle, friendly. It's full of compassion, produces a harvest of good deeds, and is free from prejudice and hypocrisy. Let me tell you, you can know a lot of stuff and still be prejudiced, still be foolish. But wise people don't show prejudice. I want you to look at this again. He goes on to say that anyone who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. They don't know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. So God is saying that, look, when we go around hating other people, he said that in John, when we go around hating other people, we're blind and we're walking in darkness, not in the light of God's will. So when we hate a brother or sister, we're in the darkness and we just don't have understanding. Let me go back to this verse in James. It says, but the wisdom from above is pure, first of all. So wisdom is pure. It doesn't have evil intent. It's also peaceful. Do you think that we need a little heavenly wisdom going on right now? It's peaceful, which causes my speech to be peaceful, causes my actions to be peaceful. It's gentle and friendly. You know, my thing has always been, I'm walking around and I see somebody that's walking up to me. My first approach is always friendly. Because that's what God wants us to be. He said, wisdom is friendly. It's full of compassion. It produces a harvest of good deeds and is free from prejudice and hypocrisy. I mean, look at that. I mean, you know, we've got to be wise people. We've got to have wisdom that's pure and gentle. And let me tell you, when your wisdom is pure, the more you're gentle and peaceful and compassionate and friendly and don't show prejudice in relationships, the wiser you are. Let me tell you, wisdom shows up in relationships. And God wants you and me to be wise because racial prejudice is a sign of ignorance. Let me tell you another thing. God hates prejudice because it disobeys the great commandment. You remember the story where the guy comes up to Jesus and says, teacher, what's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. Then Jesus quickly went on and said, and the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus is setting up the most important thing you can do is love God and then love each other. And so Jesus set that up. And so then he goes on to say, I'm getting an error on my iPad here. Let's see. Something's happened here. Let's see if we can get this back here. See if I can get this screen back working here. Is it gonna work? Something happened here. Let's see here. Well, might have to operate two ways here. So, not exactly sure what's going on here. All right, we talked about it. It's not gonna let me. Let me get this thing back working here. All right. So God hates it. Is it going to work? Let's see here. All right. All right, we're going to have to pull the laptop down and work with it, I think. So let me get out of this. And doesn't look like it's going to let me control it like it should be. So keeps giving me an error. It says, this is the first and greatest commandment. No, it's still not working. All right. So let's try and do it here. So let me just get back on this. We got a technical issue going on here. But, you know, God is saying that he hates prejudice because it disobeys the great commandment. You know the story where the guys came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment of the law of Moses?" And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the first is the first and greatest commandment." He said, "Secondly, and equally important, is to love your neighbor as yourself." And he said that, you know, that the entire law and the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And so, you know, Paul goes on to say this, when he says this, he said, "For the whole law," move it here, "the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes on to say, but if you're biting and devouring yourself, if you're biting and devouring yourself, then you are destroying one another. Let me tell you something. Then, you know, Jesus goes on and he says this. He says, "You're biting and destroying one another." And let me tell you, we're doing that today. We're doing that in our communities today. We're destroying one another with our hate. And so we've got to stop doing that. And so it goes on to say, Jesus goes on and he tells a story because he said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And one of the guys came up and said, "Hey, well, look, who's my neighbor? I mean, you know, who's my neighbor?" And so Jesus tells this story and he says this: "A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed over to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant or some kind of minister walked over and looked at him, but he also passed by on the other side." And then he says this: "Then a despised Samaritan came along and this man felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. He put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, 'Take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here.'" And then Jesus said, "Which one of these three would you say is the neighbor to the man who was attacked by the robbers?" Well, the man replied, "To the one whom he showed mercy." And Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do otherwise." Now, you know, the cool thing with this whole story is in those days, the Samaritans were the hated minority. And Jesus made the hated minority the hero in this story. I mean, that caught some attention. And so Jesus goes on to teach basically here that everyone is your neighbor. So say this: everybody's my neighbor. Everybody's my neighbor, and we're supposed to love them the way Jesus does. God hates prejudice, finally, because it's sin. God hates prejudice because it's sin. And so he says this: "If you favor some people over others, you're committing a sin. You're guilty of breaking the law." The problem here is we tend to make snap judgments of people. We see somebody in 30 seconds,
We think, well, I can trust them, I don't trust them, I like them, I don't like them. And we start to have these different kinds of thoughts about them based on this first impression. And those first impressions oftentimes stay with us long after they've been proven wrong. And most of the time, first impressions are wrong. I've heard people say, well, my first impressions are always right. Hooey, your first impressions are almost never right, especially when it comes like this. Let me tell you, we have a problem in our nation. I mean, and it's not, but it's a problem all over the world. You know, prejudice is a problem all over the world. Now, South Africa, you know, our media reports it as a black and white issue over the years. It's not black and white. I've been to South Africa several times. They have a black-white issue, but they also have a black and brown issue, and they have a issue between different tribes. And so different parts of the world is always people who are showing prejudice towards someone else. See, everybody tends to not like things or people that aren't just like me. And so I want to tell you, God hates prejudice because it's a sin. So I want you to write this down wherever you are. Racism is not a problem of skin. It's a problem of sin. Racism is a problem of sin, S-I-N, not skin, S-K-I-N. Racism is a sin problem, and the faster we understand that, the better. It's a sin I believe that God is going to hold us accountable to as well. He says this, Paul does, so why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before God for the judgment. Let me tell you, we've got people today, they're calling for changes in laws. And thank God we've changed a lot of the laws in this country. I mean, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, the segregation and stuff like that, horrible thing with laws. But as we've seen with some of the prejudicial things that are still going on, laws don't change our hearts. They don't change our minds. Laws will control behavior to a degree. What you see right now going on is a lot of lawlessness and things. We need a heart change. And here's the thing. As a Christian, I know it's possible for hearts to change because God changes people's hearts. God changes people's hearts. We all need to know, and I want you to know, God's in the heart changing business. That's what he does. And so I believe that when a follower of Jesus, somebody claims to be a Christian, said, well, this is just the way I am. It's the way I believe. You're not a Christian. You're not a follower of Jesus because Jesus says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creation. So let me tell you, when you become a Christian, God loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you were. And so you're going to do that. You know, there's a story. I love this story. It's a story of a guy named John Newton. John Newton was a terrible guy. I mean, he's an awful man. He was a slave trader. He would go to Africa and buy slaves from Africans that were selling out their own people. And then he would bring them either to America or to England and sell them. Well, he was a horrible, terrible, reprehensible. I don't have enough clean adjectives to describe him. He was terrible. And one day he was in a terrible storm in a ship. And he became fearful that he was going to die. And he told God that if you'll let me live, I'll change my ways and I'll serve you. And that night he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And God changed him from an old slave trader to a pastor. And let me tell you, he wrote a song. You might have heard of it. He, instead of being this horrible man, when God got hold of his heart, he wrote this little song called Amazing Grace. It goes, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. He talked about, "'Twas grace that saved a wretch like me." He knew he was a wretched man, but God changed him. God changed him, and he went on to help rid England of slavery. And let me tell you, that's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. So how do we get rid of prejudice in our lives? How do we get rid of prejudice in our lives? And so let me just tell you real quickly. One, we've got to see people as God sees them. We've got to see people as God sees them. Everything begins with how we view people. We've got to view people like God does. Now, it's not something we do naturally. None of us do. Remember, we tend to judge the outside, and God doesn't do that. We've got to ask God to help us see people the way he does. And when Samuel was trying to pick a successor for King Saul, he was looking at David's kids. And here's what God said. He said, the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way we see them or you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." The Lord looks at the heart. And so we've got to stop making a judgment on people based on their appearance, on how they look, their skin color, their hair color, whether they're pretty, ugly, thin, heavy, whatever. We've got to stop doing that. Jesus got real specific when he said this: stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly, which is by the heart. And so Jesus just got blunt. He said, look, you got to stop doing that. Stop judging people by their appearance. And he wants you to, God created color. And so the idea that God doesn't like one color over or likes one color over another, no, God loves everyone. Jesus came and died for everyone. And so we've got to understand that. And let me tell you, even twins, identical twins, grow up to where there's some differences. And God created that diversity. Let me tell you, the Bible is full of teaching about racism and against racism. You might have heard of a guy named Jonah. Jonah in the whale. Well, I don't know if it was a whale, but it was a big fish. But Jonah was running from God. Why was he running from God? Because God wanted him to go preach repentance to Nineveh, to the people in Nineveh. Well, Jonah didn't like that group of people. He was prejudiced against that race of people. And Jonah didn't want God to forgive him, so he's running from God. And in the end, he had to change his ways. Peter, the disciple, was prejudiced. At one point, Peter was prejudiced against Gentiles. That's me and you, in case you're wondering. And so Peter told Cornelius, he said this: "You know, it's against our laws, the Jewish laws, for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you." So Peter still got a little of that pride. He said, "It's not even legal for me to be here with you, but God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean." And so, basically God told Peter to stop thinking about non-Jews the way he was doing it. Later on, Peter said this, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism." That God shows no favoritism. And so he said this, "In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what's right." See, Peter realized God wasn't prejudiced. And because he wasn't prejudiced, he knew he couldn't be prejudiced. And let me tell you, we've got to get to that point where we got to see people the way God sees them. And the next thing we've got to do is we've got to learn to listen to everyone with respect. We've got to learn to listen to everyone with respect. That means we listen to everybody. I mean, and we do it. We got to listen to people with different perspectives than we do. Not everybody agrees with me, and I don't agree with everybody, but I need to listen with respect to their opinions. They may change mine. I may change theirs. But the less we listen to people, the more prejudiced we are and the more foolish we are. I mean, look at this next passage. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, said this: "Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish." I wish people in our media and some of our leaders would go by this, because I don't know about you, but every time I've spouted off before I got the facts, I ended up looking foolish. And we've got leaders in this country and we've got media in this country that will see something, spout off about it before they know the facts. And oftentimes in investigations, I mean, I know the George Floyd video is very, very vivid, very clear. That I'm not talking about that. But I know other situations where people have made an assumption because they've been prejudiced, whether it's prejudice against police or whatever, and they've made an assumption when eventually the facts came out and showed something different. And so we've got to learn not to spout off before we learn the facts. James, half-brother of Jesus, said this: "Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and even slower to become angry." Maybe if you've got a Bible, you need to, and highlight this next part. He says this, human anger does not achieve God's righteous person. You need to highlight that, underline that, memorize it. Human anger doesn't achieve God's righteous purpose. I mean, do we want God's fairness? Do we want God's justice for all in our nation? You better believe we do. But violence and anger, human anger, retaliation, none of that is going to achieve justice and fairness for all. We've got to learn to listen. I mean, we've got a world that's angry right now. Here's a couple of tips on listening. This will help you. We need to listen to their hurt, not their words. We need to listen to their hurts, not their words, because behind those angry words is hurt. You know, I can remember one time when I was in sales, I had a client that my company had done something not good for her. They'd not done what they needed to, and a guy that worked for me, and I went back and I listened past the name calling and past all that, and I wish our leaders could do that. But I listened past that, and I heard her hurt, and I was able to fix it for her. And when we listen past the words to the hurt, we can do that, and we can show sympathy and empathy. We can understand them better and help them. Another tip you can do when you're listening is ask them to tell you more. Hear more of their story so that you can understand them better. It often helps to dissipate anger. You know, when people approach you in anger, the Bible's clear. We're to listen with respect, and we're to show respect for everyone. Now look at this. Look at this next one. Number three, we're to love everyone the way Jesus loves us. So we see people the way he does. We listen to people with respect, and we love people the way Jesus loves them. I mean, it's not easy. And we can't do it, as Pastor Kathy said, without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to love each other the way Jesus does. And it's not an option. Jesus said, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. I mean, he didn't give us any wiggle room. He didn't say, hey, white people, you just love white people. He doesn't say, black people, you just love black people. He says, you love, if you're mine, if you're a believer of Jesus, you love everybody. White, black, brown, red. He didn't give us any wiggle room. We've got to love them. And not only do we have to love them, we've got to love them like he did. And James, his Jesus half-brother, says this. He said, my brothers and sisters, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, you must never treat people in different ways according to their outward appearance. Folks, we got to stop treating people differently by how they look. We've got to get past that. Oh, I don't like the way he looks. You know, and get beyond that. And so here's some tips. As a matter of fact, there was some kids that were had come as refugees to this country, and they actually had some tips on overcoming racism. They said this, number one is don't try and be colorblind. I already mentioned that a little bit. Don't try and be colorblind. You can't be colorblind, but you can stop basing your decisions based on color. And so don't try and be colorblind. They also said this, don't tell people who've been treated unjustly that you understand, because you don't. Don't try and tell somebody who's been treated unjustly. Let me tell you something. I don't know what it's like to be a young black male walking through a neighborhood or jogging through a neighborhood and have somebody come up to me just because I'm black and confront me thinking that maybe I was breaking in houses. I don't know what it's like to maybe be harassed by a police officer because of my skin color. And I think that's not the norm. I think 99% of our police officers do a good job with good intentions and good hearts. But I don't know what it's like to be that person who's run into that bad guy. I don't know. I can't tell you I know what it feels like. You can't, but on the other hand, can't come and tell me you know what it feels like to go through some of the things I've been through as well, unless you've been through them. And so we've got to understand. So don't tell people that you understand. Another thing that we need to do is we should never say just get over it, because listen, pain matters. Pain matters. You can't ignore somebody's history and just think, oh, well, they ought not to feel that way. Well, pain matters. Pain is real, whether you or I think it is or not. Matter of fact, I don't get to decide what hurts people and what doesn't. And then here's another one. They said, well, stand against all stereotypes. And so we need to do that. Stand against all stereotypes. You James said this, yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law, for the as found in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. We've got to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, here's how God plans to bring people together. I want you to understand this. You got all these different people. You got all kinds of craziness going on right now. I believe God's plan to bring people together is the local church or the body of Christ through the local churches. That's why it's important to be part of a local church. And so I believe it's very important that that we've got to be, the church has got to rise up during this time. Matter of fact, Paul said this, each of us, Paul said, each of us is part of one body of Christ. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles, and some are slaves and some are free. So you got all these different people that he's saying, hey, we're all different people. But he says this, but the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together in one body. We have been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit, and we've all been given the same Holy Spirit. Listen to me. We all have the same Holy Spirit living in us. And then, just on down, Paul went on to say this. He said, now here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is separate and necessary part of it. Each one of us has a role, a purpose, and a responsibility in the body of Christ. There's only one body of Christ. There's not a black body of Christ. There's not a Korean body of Christ, a Chinese. We are the body of Christ. We're each different, but we're all necessary. And that's what he's saying here. We're all necessary. You know, so, I mean, you know, if you think about it, why do we need the church? Well, let me tell you, we need the church. Why, you know? We need spiritual people in our family. One is, let me tell you this, we need the church because none of us are complete in and of ourselves. I have strengths and weaknesses, and you have strengths and weaknesses, and we complement each other. And secondly, I can't model love by myself. I can't model racial reconciliation by myself. It takes me being in the middle of a bunch of people. Now, this next verse I'm going to show you is a radical thing. Because you see, so often, we put our identity in something like our job. We'll put our identity in our job, or we'll put our identity in our race. I'm a white guy. I'm a black guy. I'm an Indian. I'm a Native American. I'm whatever it is. We tend to put our identity. But Paul says this: when you become a Christian, he says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ." And then he goes on, he says, and you and all who have been united with him, with Christ in baptism, have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. He goes on to say, there's now no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. We're all one in Jesus Christ. And so we've got to understand that. I want you to write this down. This next slide, let me show it to you. My primary identity is who I am in Christ. I am in Christ. That is my identity. I'm not a white guy. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to be white. I'm not a man instead of a woman. I'm a Christian who's a man, but I'm a Christian first. My primary identity has got to be who I am in Christ. Now, he's created each of us with our differences, but we're all identified as in Christ. And so we've got to understand that. There are no unnecessary parts of this, and so we've got to understand our identity is in Christ. And he goes on to say this. He said, in this new life, one's nationality one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters, and he is equally available to all. Let me tell you something. What's important is whether or not you belong to Jesus Christ. And so I want to give you an opportunity in just a second to receive Christ as your Savior so that you can be in Christ. Because I believe the answer to all of this, the answer to a police officer harassing you because of your race, the answer to somebody that doing criminal behavior right now, or rioting or looting, not protesting, but I'm talking beyond that, or somebody robbing your house, or somebody burning your business. The answer to all of that is to be in Christ. When we're serving Jesus and we're loving Him with everything in us, it means we're loving each other the way we should. We're not stealing from each other. We're not looting their houses. We're not mistreating each other. We're treating each other with love and respect. And so I want to, wherever you are, I just want you to bow your head for a minute. I want to tell you tonight that Jesus died for everyone. Jesus came to reconcile everyone. He came, He died on a cross for the sins of every black man and woman in the world, every white man and woman in the world, every man and woman of every single race and nationality. Jesus Christ came and He paid with His life for yours and my sins on the cross of Calvary. Christianity is not a white man's religion. Jesus wasn't a white guy like me, but He died for a white guy like me, and He died for a black man or a woman like you, or brown or red. Let me tell you something. Jesus died for all of us. He loves every single one of us. And so I want you to bow your heads right now. And I want you to just say this simple prayer with me. Dear God, I admit to you that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me, for the forgiveness of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Savior and be my Lord. Give me the power of your Holy Spirit so that I can live with you forever in heaven and serve you until I get there. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, real quick, I just want to encourage you. Let's learn these things. Let's learn to see people as God sees them. Let's learn to listen to everyone with respect. Let's learn to listen. Let's learn to love everybody the way Jesus loves them. And let's see our identity and who we are in Christ. Then we won't be throwing words at each other. We won't be throwing rocks at each other. We'll be taking care of each other. I want to say a quick prayer for each person as we wrap this up. I just want to say a quick prayer, and so let's pray. So, Father, I just thank you, God, right now.